Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. God is omnipotent. That means God controls all the power. We can be thankful that it is God who is righteous, who controls all the power. Imagine how horrible our life would be if evil controlled all the power. Looking back in history to somebody who was evil, who seemed to control all the power, many might settle in on Adolf Hitler. Even Hitler was eventually subdued because the action of an advancing Soviet army where the defeat of the Third Reich was a certainty. Prior to this time, Hitler had survived the carnage of the First World War and at least 42 assassination attempts. But imagine how life would be different today if the Nazis and the Axis powers had been victorious. Even then, Hitler would have eventually been defeated by death, the kind of death that comes to people at the end of the process of aging. And God our Father, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, has power over death. If, in our life, we seem to be controlled by evil people in any way, even if they seem to be all-powerful, even their power comes with the limit of the human lifespan. And God is still omnipotent. No matter how challenging our circumstances or what evil we might face, God is still omnipotent. With God, there is nothing that is too hard to handle or that jeopardizes the sovereignty of God. Because God is omnipotent. God cannot be defeated. Nations can be victorious in conflict and then defeated. But God is in charge of the universe. And because God is also omnipotent, God will never be defeated. In the Second World War, Winston Churchill famously declared his nation would never surrender. Winston Churchill died a long time ago, and if his country were similarly threatened today, Winston Churchill would be unable to give any rousing speech. When others are defeated or silenced by death, God is eternal. Death has no power over God our Father, and our Father who resurrected Jesus Christ from death will at the resurrection also resurrect each of us. The idea of resurrecting somebody from the dead is something we through faith believe and intellectually can grasp. But we also see interpretations of what that resurrection will look like the story of the creature created by Dr. Frankenstein that used cadaver parts in the process to bring it to life. The creature was abandoned by Dr. Frankenstein and became a monster when it was also rejected by society. When we are resurrected, there will be no Frankenstein effect on any of us. What seems impossible for people to do is not impossible for God to do. Nothing is impossible with God. And when nothing is impossible, that speaks to great and incredible power. God showed his great and incredible power when Jesus was born of Mary and when John the Baptist was born of Mary's cousin Elizabeth. Mary was a virgin when she became pregnant with Jesus, and Elizabeth lived a lifetime of seemingly being unable to have children. With God, nothing is impossible. Luke 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Nothing was impossible for God when it came to Abraham and Sarah. By the time we catch up to their lives in the Bible, both are already pretty old. When God broached the idea that Sarah would get pregnant and have a son in about a year, it was too much for Abraham, and it made him quietly laugh within himself. Abraham was thinking like a person, because he was a person as much as Sarah was a person. He probably didn't stop to consider that with God, all things are possible. And if God had determined that in about a year, Sarah would have a son, then Sarah would have a son because nothing is impossible for God. Genesis 17, verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, O that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Jesus was once asked by a rich man what he needed to do to have eternal life, and explained he had been keeping the commandments since his youth. He wanted to know what else he needed to do. Jesus told the young man to sell all that he had and to give to the poor, and this person left dejected because he was very wealthy. Jesus used this as an example to teach the disciples that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Hearing this, the disciples determined that salvation would be nearly impossible for all people. Jesus told them that salvation is impossible for people to attain by themselves, but that with God, all things are possible, showing what is impossible for man is 100% possible with God. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. One of the reasons why people of and by themselves cannot attain eternal life is we are limited by our human existence. All of our lives will physically come to an end, and we have no ability to give ourselves eternal life. God, on the other hand, is eternal and will always be there. When we compare mortal humans to God, we will always come up short, as God is always able to outlast us. The good news is, as we yield ourselves to God, He gives power and strength to the faint and weak. Isaiah 40, verse 27. Who sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God's omnipotence extends beyond all abilities of mankind. It was God who parted the sea during the Exodus and who brought plagues to Egypt. The same God who has enough power to bring plagues upon enemies and deliver his people is the same God who can redeem and deliver us from the difficulties and problems in our lives today. Isaiah 50, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, Where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Of which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh, because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. When we think of the complexity of global events and international relations between countries, we can see where countries will sometimes even overlook what is evil in another country when it satisfies their national interests. When it serves national interests, even nations that are typically adversaries can be brought together on the same side to fight a common enemy. And that can take some very tricky diplomacy. And sometimes that diplomacy falls apart at the worst possible time. With God, nothing is too hard. God's omnipotence allows him to easily work to advance the kingdom of God. God can even use the enemies of his people when needed to bring punishment. For instance, when the people of Israel and Judah abandoned God, he eventually had Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon take control. Nothing is too hard for God. Jeremiah 32, verse 26. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans that fight against the city shall come and set fire on this city, and burn it with the houses, upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal, and poured out drink offerings unto other gods, to provoke me to anger. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. For this city hath been to me as a provocation of mine anger and of my fury from the day that they built it, even unto this day, that I should remove it from before my face. Because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And they have turned unto me the back, and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. But they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their son and the daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not, neither came it unto my mind that they should do this abomination, to cause Judah to sin. Those who think of God as something insignificant only need to consider the planet on which we live. A planet with mountains, valleys, rivers, and oceans, where around the world at any different time are a variety of weather conditions. Scientists will talk about the energy released during earthquakes, and earthquakes are often attributed as the cause of mountains. God is omnipotent and powerful enough to create a planet that uses earthquakes to change geographic features. God is stronger than the strongest earthquake. When people forget about the omnipotence of God, they forget that God, who blessed us with what we have, is the same God who can take away what we have. Amos writes a famine, the type of famine where nobody needs to brush or floss their teeth because there is no food, a type of famine where water becomes precious because there is no rain. When God wants to get the attention of people, he can cause rain to become excessive in one location and non-existent in another, causing mass migration of people, all in search of food and water. I've shared before that I live in El Paso, Texas, a major U.S. city on the border with Mexico. And locally, we have seen lots of people from many different countries and continents enter our country, bypassing immigration on the ports of crossing. Some of these people were looking for the opportunity to get food a little easier. And all of this is happening in a time where scientists proclaim climate change. What happens with mass migration from one country to other countries is not much different than what Amos recorded for us. As we see modern realities align with biblical prophecies showing something more of a curse than a blessing, we need to examine if what we are doing is aligned to what God would have us do. As we are doing that, it will behoove us to also consider that God who formed earth, who controls the climate, is the same God who is omnipotent. Amos 4, verse 6. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And also I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with a sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains, and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. As the book of Job comes to an end, Job came to an understanding of the omnipotence of God. He knew that God could do everything, and nothing was impossible for God to do. From the beginning of the book of Job, we can see a person who, even according to God, was perfect and upright, who feared God and avoided evil at all costs. And yet, we can see at the end of the book, a person who saw himself as being spiritually more than he was. And this led Job to repent. In the end, Job understood that God was omnipotent and that he was not. Job 42, verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. In the Psalms, we can see many accounts of the omnipotence of God. God is so powerful that he is able to do as he pleases. We can be thankful that, in addition to the omnipotence of God, that God is righteous. Psalm 135, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O you servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, and in earth, in the seas, and all deep places. Another psalm describes God's omnipotence as being everywhere. There is no place we could possibly go to get away from the power of God. Wherever we go, God is present and God is omnipotent. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassed my path and my line down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, it is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? we can also see that God is not only omnipotent, but he also knows everything. There is nothing too hard for God to understand. A common phrase you might hear is, knowledge is power. God knows everything, and God is omnipotent. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power, his understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek, he casteth the weaketh down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise upon the harp unto our God. When we think of our faith in our Father in heaven and his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, what we know is given to us in the pages of the Bible. Many look to the Bible as the words of man. And while people were used to record what we read in the Bible, we know all Scripture was given by inspiration of God. As we read the Bible or listen to any message about God, our faith should never be grounded in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. People might have helped us to understand what is written in the Bible, and their teachings might have helped us to come closer to God, but our faith is not a result of them. Our faith is the result of the power of God. We have faith not because of any man, and by extension, not because of any church, but because of the power of God. We can have faith today because God is omnipotent. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul also explained the kingdom of God is not a kingdom of mere words. It is not a religious concept to make us feel good about who we are and the life we have. The kingdom of God is a kingdom based in power, the power of God's word, the omnipotent power of God. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 14. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be you followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up, as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? God's omnipotence does not rely on the strength of people. God is not omnipotent because we have incredible strength and power. The Bible shows God's strength is made perfect in weakness. God does not need the rich and the powerful of this planet to be omnipotent. God does not need people who are perfect examples of health and wellness to be omnipotent. God's omnipotence remains even when his people are weak and powerless and lacking in health and wellness. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. God's omnipotence is real. Those who believe need no convincing of God's omnipotence. We know God is greater and more powerful than any leader on earth. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. For above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. In Revelation, the omnipotence of God is confirmed by a loud voice that could be confused with a large crowd, mighty rushing water, or the thundering of a thunderstorm. Before all in heaven, it is easy to see that God is omnipotent. Revelation 19, verse 1. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up for ever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. God's omnipotence secures our faith because we know everything that God says is true. That truth is honest, just, pure, and lovely. God's truth comes with a good report, is surrounded in virtue, and worthy of praise. As Christians, God's omnipotence gives us incredible confidence and leads us to understand that through Jesus Christ, we can do all things. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The message of the gospel came to each of us not only through the pages of the Bible, but it also came to us in power and through the Holy Spirit. The power by which the gospel came to each of us shows the omnipotence of God. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. When God gave us the Holy Spirit, that Spirit was not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, a sound mind, and power. The Holy Spirit is like a small sample of the incredible omnipotence of God. 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see them, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. The divine power of Jesus Christ and God our Father has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things is everything there is about life and godliness. Through the divine power of Jesus Christ and God our Father, we have been given a taste of very great power. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to find strength in Jesus Christ and the power of his might. And we exercise that strength and power by putting on the whole armor of God so that we can withstand Satan's deceits, recognizing we are fighting a spiritual battle against spiritual wickedness in high places. The battle we face will be won because God's omnipotence will stand with us as we surround ourselves with truth, righteousness, faith, salvation, and an understanding of the gospel and the broader word of God. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. God's omnipotence was shared with Jesus Christ at his resurrection. He told the disciples all power was given to him in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he prayed that the people would be strengthened by the might of the Holy Spirit. It is through the Holy Spirit we have a small taste of the power of God. He wanted the people to be focused on Jesus Christ through faith and grounded in love, to know the love of Christ and the fullness of God, knowing that God and Jesus Christ are omnipotent, and through the Holy Spirit in a small way, give us a taste of God's omnipotence. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. For people of faith, there is no disputing the omnipotence of God. And through the Holy Spirit, there is no disputing that God's power is working in us. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.